Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. This is hashtag I Am Riviera Beach podcast. And we want to thank all of you for joining as we come on every single week sharing another amazing story. I am still thoroughly convinced that after reading the book, Acres of Diamonds, that we are leaving our diamond mines in our own backyard as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from whence we have come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Our vision is to continue to shed a bright light on the wonderful, smart, talented individuals from our great city, Riviera Beach, Florida. And today, our special guest, as a native resident representing District 3 in Riviera Beach and current health planner for Palm Beach County, Councilwoman Shirley Lanier is dedicated to community development, economic self-sufficiency, and job creation. She brings to the council her 20-plus years of experience in strategic planning and implementation, housing advocacy, youth service programs, and community sustainability. Councilwoman Lanier has a plethora of specifically designed strategies to put into action for departments in the city that will be used as guidelines and protocols for the use of local funding. Welcome to the show, Councilwoman Lanier and Dan and Steve, and we are ready to begin our podcast. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Councilperson, Mrs. Shirley Lanier, would you just tell the listening audience about your residential, as long as you can remember, at an early age in the schools and the way you matriculated to the Florida A&M and back here and the job that you're holding now? Would you just give us a little of that before I ask you some more questions?
Yes, sir. I was born here in the city of Riviera Beach in a section of the city called Federal Garden. I attended Lincoln Elementary School until we were bused to a school that used to be called, well, it's not a school now. It was called Military Trail Elementary School. And I think it's like an adult ed school out there now. But they bused us out to Military Trail Elementary School. Once I finished there, I went to John F. Kennedy Junior High School and then attended and graduated from Suncoast Community High School. I left Suncoast and went to Florida A&M University, where I got a bachelor's and a master's degree, came back, worked for the city of West Palm Beach for a while, went back to FAMU Law School in Orlando, Florida, came back home, and now I've been here for the last, 5-7 years here in the city. But as I said before, I've been back and forth from the city throughout my entire career. And I currently work for Palm Beach County as a health planner administering the county's HIV/AIDS program. So I have been doing HIV/AIDS for the last 30 years, and that is something that I'm passionate about. Health in general is something that I'm passionate about, and especially, and of course, mental health.
Beautiful. That is really, really outstanding. You know, when I was a young man, I worked right at, it was a Tate Gym, now it's the Dan Calloway's Recreation Complex. And so many families and their children and their parents were always there from Federal Garden. And when local people like Mr. White on our program here, Steve White, and the person who created this program, Ann McNeil, they all grew up around Ann off of Goodmont Park, up on 36th Street, used to be Comas Avenue, Steve, not too far from on the south end, not too far from what we call Firehouse. And now you got the Richard Brooks Center there, and I'm quite sure you were one of the people who helped put that together. When we are talking about people who were born and reared here, it just sends me up to heaven, because I was born 83 years ago on 3009 S Avenue. It wasn't S then. It was Acorn Road and then Acorn Boulevard. And you were part of the elected officials who are going to be putting together the 100 year of celebration of Riviera. Now, one, I need to ask you a couple of questions about that. What are some of the things that you're going to implement that you want to see with those 12 months? We start in September and go back to the next September to have the final thing. You have a couple of them you can tell the listener that you want to make sure we...
I'm very excited about this project. I've always been a history buff in terms of not just Riviera Beach history, but Black history. And the fact that the city of Riviera Beach is a predominantly African-American city, I have always been intrigued with how this city came about. My parents came to this city and bought a house in 1963, and they have, my mother had always threatened that she would move back to Georgia, but she never left. And I was just so intrigued that people like my father, who came from Tennessee, and my mother, who came from Georgia, that how they ended up in Riviera Beach. And, you know, my father said that somebody said, you know, they building some houses out there in the sticks. And he was like, the sticks? So he, you know, ended up coming down here and buying a house. And back in those days, you know, it was an opportunity for African-American people to own property. And he took advantage of it. And we have been here ever since. And, you know, just the history of the stories of how people come to this city, you know, back in the day, like my parents and my grandparents, how they got here. And that whole backstory about how they got here was always so intriguing to me. And I was like, well, why would you leave, you know, Tennessee and come way down here to Florida? We come way down here to specifically Riviera Beach. And all of those stories from people who I've heard have just intrigued me. So I always wanted to nail down those backstories of people who have been here in this city, you know, forever, and how they got here.
Well, that's beautiful. You know, I think that we're going to highlight, because I'm on the committee myself, and they filmed the first session of me last week, and they're going to do another one telling the story, because there's only two people that was born and reared here. That's two of a Reverend Griffin Davis family. His oldest sister, Charlotte Paul, she's 93, and the next oldest daughter of Lindsay Davis, Willie Mae Davis Scott, she'll be 86 in September. We are 3 years apart, but it's my job is to try to chronologize a lot of things that been misconstrued or something like that. And I'm so glad that you, one of those people who was born and reared here, and it's a blessing for your daddy who met your mother from Georgia, and he came from the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee and landed on the sunny shores of Florida, when he cut that sugar cane. So, but I ask you what I need to know. You're going to be telling some of the history, and that is great, because everybody on your commission, they weren't born and reared here. They came from somewhere else. So it's much easier for you to give your opinion what you need to see. The other day, you and I was in a conversation, and I told you something, you thought that was really outstanding, that you want that to happen, about Riviera was broken up in two parts, south and north. Like Steve lived on the south end of Riviera, and Ann lived on the north end of Riviera, just like I did. In the Martin Luther King parade in January. I think that's the third or the last week of January we have the Martin Luther King parade. You and I talk about the founding families of Riviera, their names from the south end put on one big board, and the names of the families on from the north end. Now, there wasn't a lot of people in Riviera now. You remember that? We were talking about that, and you said you want that.
Yes, you were talking about the fact that when you have these, you know, quote-unquote first families, people who basically came here, early in the history of this city, to recognize those families, we would have a special float for them that they mm-hmm. would be recognized, and they would be known to the city as people who basically came to this city when it was first developing. So, of course, we want to promote those families that, you know, that were here, that, you know, now and are still here after all those years, and, you know, their family is here, and we want to recognize them, to be able to say that these are some of our first families that came to the city and helped develop this city, and they're still here.
Beautiful. Well, so you think, like most of the people, especially senior citizens, and you're not a senior citizen yet, they want to have this. They think this is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened in Riviera for 12 months, starting September, and it goes back to the final program will be September next year. One of the things that we need to know, we need to emphasize more about mental health, and that was one of the things that we're going to close out this week about mental health. We're going into sports. The guys who's going to come back, because Richard Relford will be our guest. Once again, I'm telling you in advance, he lives in Ohio right now. He's homegrown right off of S Avenue, right in front of the old Kennedy and his brother Cecil and his family. We're going to do that. But now, what can we do to emphasize and try to do more about mental illness? Should we be able to start teaching people when they see somebody? And I think last week when we were talking about this here, Steve put it in the best place that we could ever, because a lot of people don't like the stigma of knowing somebody in their family is suffering with that disease. That's a health problem. How do we go with the education department, the law enforcement, and the religion, the churches, and just everybody? If you see something, say something, and this not demeaning the people, but to help the people get help.
Right. I think that what it is, Ed, I have a master's degree in psychology. I have worked doing black mental health, doing, you know, the health of black communities for a long time. You have a situation where it's just like the HIV AIDS that I work in every day. It's you know, people don't want somebody to know that they are positive, you know, or somebody don't want somebody to know that they have a mental health diagnosis, you know, either depression or a bipolar disorder. These things have to be made to be things in our community, in black communities, that are less stigmatized. That if a person has a diagnosis of bipolar or a diagnosis of depression, then that is just a medical diagnosis. It's like a person have a medical diagnosis of having diabetes. Those are things mm-hmm. that can be treated. Those are things that people have to get past the stigma of, and those are things that should be normalized in our community. Because given the history of black people in this country, given the fact that we have, you know, we were enslaved over 400 years, all of those traumas that black people have experienced
just with the police in general. You know, and speaking of the police, you know, there needs to be more police officers who have training in mental health. People who they come upon may be having a mental health breakdown. You know, they may not be having any kind of violent episode, but it just may be a mental health break that more police officers need to be trained to be able to recognize and to handle. So those are some of the things that when we talk about mental health, when we talk about especially in the Black community, especially in normalizing those types of those types of things, that we need to be able to normalize those things and talk about them in a healthy way, so that people who are experiencing these illnesses of depression, you know, experiencing these illnesses of bipolarness, these are some of the things that can be treated.
Well, that is beautiful.
In looking at our community, we have to make sure that these are some of the things that we normalize.
Well, as an elected official and one of the policymakers, will you take that upon yourself to mention in your – I think every time you all have a council meeting at the end, everybody got a few words at the end. They want to make a statement. And I think that we – I'm going to suggest on the committee that I sat with that we're going to have not only the law enforcement, I think that we should go to all the churches and for maybe 6 weeks or 2 months, every Sunday, a part of their announcement that right from the pulpit, right behind the holy desk, they need to give two or three minutes of talking about that. That we need, it's not, the doctors can't do anything if we don't get the people that in front of the doctors. And 99% of the time, the lawman can't do anything unless we go and bring it before him or the office or something like that. And I think you're right about that, that I think we should have training, in-house training with the law enforcement. And we need to go and tell the sheriff of Palm Beach County. We need to say that we think that if you haven't been training your officers, they need to be trained. Because the first news that came out when the young man was killed up in Lake Park, they said the sheriff's office shot him. But he didn't. The sheriff's office didn't shoot him. He shot himself. But the point is, everybody was all in an uprage. I got all kind of phone calls. See, that's what I told you. The sheriff's office is going to shoot somebody. I said, well, I didn't know what happened, but when Artie got up there, he was a part of the early call. That's what Mama, they do that and go and help out. Well, we need to educate the masses. But I think that if you will make it a statement about that, what we should do with this training.
Yes, I have no problem in promoting, you know, mental health in Black communities, mental health in any community, actually. You know, when we talk about mental health, it's a stigma, not just in Black communities, but in any community, in terms of people seeking help, whether that be through a therapist, whether that be through having a third party to have conversations about. These are some of the things that people just take for granted and say that, well, you know, you have to be stronger, or, you know, you can't just break down every little thing and, you know, you buck yourself up and, you know, be able to, you know, withstand anything that comes along. But what happens is that when we don't have, you know, either therapy or something to combat some of these mental health, you know, diagnoses, then we're stuck with people who actually break. And that's what happens, because you don't have anything or anyone to be able to combat these types of illnesses, and people actually have mental health breaks. And that is why we had a whole 45th Street for. It was back in the day, it was, people used to call it the crazy house. But what it was, I mean, you know, because we did not have an idea of what mental health was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically for people who needed to be. It was nothing, you know, they were not bad people. They were not, it was nothing wrong with them. You know, some people have, and all of us are in a situation where we need to be able to check our mental health like we check our blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has a situation and everybody has a breaking point that we need to be able to check and to maintain our mental health. And that is one thing that I certainly promote in terms of mental health in black communities and in any community. I want to be able to say that this should be normalized.
Okay. Steve?
Steve might be on mute. If you're talking, Steve, he might be on mute.
Okay,
hold on. Steve, if you're talking, you might be on mute.
No, can you hear me?
Okay. We can hear you now. I was saying if you were talking, you might have been on mute.
Okay, I think I may have lost Mr. Calloway, though. I was coming off mute, and I think I hit the end button instead.
Okay, you want to go ahead and call him back, and I'll just go ahead and continue.
Okay, that's fine. All right.
So while they're coming back on, if you can go ahead and share with us, I love hearing your story. So what motivated you to actually come back and stay this time?
Well, actually, it was more personal. You know, my mother had, my mother had breast cancer, and I came to care for her. She's doing wonderful now. She's fine. She's cancer free. But that was about 6 or 7 years ago. And when I came back here,
I got a bachelor's degree. I tried to get a job in the city of Revere Beach, and it didn't work. So I went back. I got a master's degree. I came back. That didn't work. Didn't get a job over there. So I went back to law school. And I came back this third time, and I had said that, you know, well, this time I'm going to stay. And I just started going over to the city council meetings. And actually, I started going to the city council meetings because where I live in Revere Beach is 13th Street in Federal Guard. And we're kind of surrounded by warehouses here. And I would have these UPS trucks that would be coming down the street like 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. A piece, and they would come every single morning, and then, you know, then we would have these other large, huge, you know, 40-ton tractor trailers coming down the neighborhood. And I just said, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, the foundations of your houses would actually shake when these big trucks come down. So I went over to the city of Revere Beach. I started asking questions about, you know, about how can we stop this, and I could not get anybody to help me. And I said, you know what, for what I get coming over to the city, I tell you what, I just run for office myself. And that's what I actually did. And, you know, I was, you know, not really a, you know, politics person per se, but I was always interested in, you know, civics and government because I knew that that's how things got done. And I also knew that, you know, it was my money. So I wanted to know what was happening with it, and I wanted to know how it was being spent. So that's one of the reasons why, as well, is that, you know, you would see, you know, bills that were coming. You know, of course, every bill that comes into your house, you look at, and you say, well, you know, what is going on over here? This bill is this, and this bill is that, and, you know, I call for services, and, you know, maybe I get something, maybe I don't, and I just thought that things could be more efficient, not that they were just totally bad. It was the fact that I just thought that it could be more efficient, that we can look at different things in this city that we had never looked at before, and we were able to do that. I mean, especially with the trucks coming down, you know, the UPS trucks coming down our street. You know, we had this conversation with UPS, and, you know, they said, okay, we'll pay for the traffic calming. So they paid for the traffic calming for our area, for roundabouts, for beautification. For 13th Street, because we went to them and we had this conversation, and hey, you do business in the city, and we should be able to have some expectations of you giving back to the communities. And that's what happened, and that's what we do. And I'm going to segue that into the fact that we, you know, negotiated with Amazon to come to the city of Revere Beach. And at this point, we're up to 200 jobs
that can be made available to the residents who live here. So having this, negotiation and having this, conversations with businesses and people in the city that, you know, if you come to the city, if you're going to do business in the city of Riviera Beach, then there needs to be some community benefit. There needs to be something
Amen.
Where the residents get something from that.
Well, thank
Amen,
you for answering that question because thank you for answering that question, Dan, while you were just asking her what motivated her to come back this time and stay, and she was just sharing her story. And her
Beautiful.
Story is, I think, synonymous with so many of our stories. Even when we first started this program, Dan talked about how he left and came back. And I think that as we continue to do this podcast and continue to share the light on the lives of people like yourself, Dan Calloway, Steve, and so many others, that light, I think, will begin to attract others, just like the rest of us, to come back and give back, because what you're doing, you're making the city a better place for everybody and not just settling like we've all done in the past. So thank you so very much. Back to you, Dan.
Well, you know, I have to add something to that. It's what Shirley was saying, and of course, that's why we on this radio show every week. Well, that was your idea, and of course, Steve had the opportunity when he finished at Florida AM to go other places, but he thought enough to come back home and be a beacon of light, trying to educate the masses, because we got to do that. We got to keep on doing that. I just think that we're going to highlight that. That's already on my pad, that we're going to bring a lot of people back. I haven't put what age, like from 50 to 60 or from 30 to 60 or whatever, was reared up in Riviera, and it went off, and they came back, and now they're in business, they're in medicine, they're in education, they may be in the pulpit. It doesn't matter. It shows that Riviera produces some tremendous minds. Not always on the athletic field. That's the most easy one, the because everybody read about it in the paper. But nobody knows, not many people know, that what Shirley is over, the medical people down there, the nurses and everything like that. And they don't put people over that unless they got some brains. See, the athletic part only going to last so often. But now Abe Elam and the guys, like last week, they fed all those kids out there, and they was giving a football camp and a basketball clinic. And we got something set up, going to be on the 6th of August. I think it's going to be held at Wells. We were going to be, it's like the back to school thing, and we'll be giving out literature about not so much about teenage pregnancy, but about mental illness and talking to the kids. I think we have to do more than those. But let me say this to you, Commissioner. I'm glad you're in there. I hope your colleagues pick up on that. Don't get complacent thinking that all the workers that you have under your supervision that wearing the RIVIRA on the back of their uniform is doing what they should be doing. What I mean by that, they got to give more. See, going to work and they're paying you a decent salary and you think you need more, the way to get it is to go the extra mile away and do more. And people to speak up. You need to give those people a raise. But when you shortcutting because and pouting because you think that you need more and you're not going to do anything until you get more, that's the wrong thing to do. You must give your best. And I'm glad that you thought enough, because that's a tough job you got, being an elected official. That's one of the toughest jobs anybody can have, especially in Riviera, because everybody on the outside think they know more than the people who are in there. And they don't really have an idea about that, especially in law enforcement. I appreciate that, and I will talk about that public. Can you give another little word about the efficiency, where you think you are with the workers under your supervision? Not so much under the city manager's supervision, and he's under your supervision as a leader, elected official. Where do you think in a percent? Are you 40, 80, or 100%?
I tell you what we have is I always and often give kudos to the employees of the city of Revere Beach. Now, just like with any job or any position, we can all do better. I mean, even including myself, we can all do better. The thing about it is to be able to work together to be able to get the job done. I think that a lot of times, you know, people have their own mindset in terms of what they want to do and how they want to do it, and that is fine. As long as we have the same goal in mind, as long as we have the same mindset in mind in terms of getting this done, you know, the city is looking at, you know, a significant amount of development here in terms of the new city hall. We just opened the new library, in terms of the two new fire stations, the new police department. So the city is embarking on a huge endeavor in terms of bringing us up into the 21st century. You know, the city's infrastructure is failing. And we need to be able to bring us, we're looking at a whole brand new $135 million water plant. Water is life. Those are the things that we have to work together on to be able to make sure that it's just not just a nice building. It's just not a nice plant. This is a new water plant. This is something that we need to not to be able to rely on anyone else. There are people around this country who are going around to small little black towns and buying up the water, meaning that they're buying the rights to our two water plants. And that is something that we would refuse to do. Same thing in terms of our police department. We refuse to do that. We gave that back to the voters because we understand that the voters are the ones that make the decision and not us.
Beautiful. Now, our time is getting short, but I need to say this here. Would you be amenable to come back again because your background, one, and your born and reared here, two, and the way your perception of what this city need and where you want it to go, would you come back again? I can't tell you right now, but I really need you to come back again. Reason why I said that, okay then. Now, last week, you and I had a conversation, and you told me just put something out there that I thought that would be really good that you want to sponsor. And we did that. Did he tell you about the fish, our fish club, when it caught
the fish? Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, so yesterday we were given out at 678 people, families made up that many people, got fresh fish already filleted. When I sent our fishing club up to a little town in Carolina, and they went out in a special reservoir and was catching those little striped bass. And everybody was going crazy because it had never been frozen. We just brought it. Our guys and Alan Nguyen and Ed Walker grew up right in Federal Garden.
Right.
That was part of the crew. And we had a couple of young people. We are training them to fish. That's part of the Chinese. The Chinaman said, if you give me a fish, I'll eat for a day, but if you teach me how to fish, I'll eat for a lifetime. And
that's right.
One of the things that you gave me the instruction you wanted to be done, and we did that. And we're going to be some more things that we talked about that we're not talking about on the show here, but I just need to listen, audience. You put your money up where your mouth is. You said,
get it
done. And some other things. So, I'm taking orders from a lot of women now, and number one would be you. And now I got Shirley. Yeah. Okay.
But you know
All
what?
Right.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Mr. Calloway, because I did the same thing with the urban farm that we put together right next to Barracuda Bay. I got tired of people mm-hmm. coming here trying to give us food. I said, we'll grow our own food, and that's what we did.
That is true, and it's beautiful. Okay, Ann, your remarks?
Excuse me, sorry. I just want to remind all of our listeners, because we did have some people that come on a little late, that we are very excited to have, Councilwoman Shirley Lanier on with us from Riviera Beach and sharing her story, parts of it. She's going to come back and share more. But I just really want to also make sure that I share with you, Councilwoman Lanier, that I am so appreciative. You talked about three times going to the city to get a job. I'm three times going to the city bidding on a contract, and because of you and the sitting commission, we are so excited about being awarded the contract, T3 contract, to build the first fire station. And so I just publicly wanted to say thank you so very much for that. And as a result of that, we are hosting an event on the 5th of August 2020. And Dan, I've talked to a lot of people, but we're going to be getting back with you about getting the community out, because this is, like she said, this is a new city. It's a wonderful city. And we just want to do everything we can in promoting Riviera Beach pride and the fact that I am and each one of us represent this great city. So thank you so very much for coming on. And Dan and Councilwoman, if you have any other comments, we can have those comments now, and then we can prepare to wrap up. Thank you.
Okay. Steve, I'll close it down. Steve?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to thank Ms. Lanier for coming on, and I think it allowed the people, the listeners, to get a better understanding of you and some of your goals for the city. So thank you for sharing with us.
Oh, okay, that's beautiful. And I echo that too, Shirley, that it's always good to have. Let me give you a chance to finish up. I think that when you are elected official, sometimes you got to go back over the same path that you went to all those places that you asked the people to support you to get in that position, like the churches, the ballparks, and putting on things at one of the parks. And one of the things that we have set up for you, I just haven't put it all together because you gave me the autonomy, but we will be going to one of the outside parks. But I really wanted to do it in your district. And of course, I know every inch of that. But right now, you are doing as well as anybody have ever done in their first year. I can tell you that right now, because you in tune with the public, and you listen to advice, and you go out and get it done. Now you can make your remark.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing, and this is my motto in terms of the city of Riviera Beach and me trying to do everything I can to make this city shine. The goal isn't to live forever. The goal is to create something that will. And all I'm trying to do is create something that will live, and this city is going to be recognized as an African-American city, that it is something that will be on the map, and that it's something that we can be proud of.
Well, thank you very much. And then we'll shut it down, and next week we'll have another homegrown young man by the name of Richard Relford, who was All-State as a football player and a basketball player when he attended Suncoast High School under the auspices of Coach Sutton. And he'll be on next week, but we will be out there highlighting mental health and the back to school, because the kids haven't been in the classroom in a long time. And we right now don't know is the final answer, will they be in the classroom or not. But we got to make the whatever way they're going to go, we got to help them with the transition, because we don't want those kids to get mental problems by always being bounced around like a basketball. So I'm finished, and I love all of you all, and stay safe.
All right, and you stay safe as well. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
All right. Thank you, everybody. You have been listening to hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, and we will see everybody next week, same time, same place. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.